For the third time, a patient with terminal heart disease has been given a self-contained mechanical heart. Doctors at the Texas Heart Institute described the recipient as alert and responsive after the six-hour procedure. The institute is at St. Luke's Episcopal Hospital in Houston. The previous two recipients of the AbioCor mechanical heart were at Jewish Hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. Professor George Annis teaches health law and bioethics and writes the Law Medicine column for the New England Journal of Medicine. He says he is surprised doctors in Houston performed a third surgery so quickly.
After Louisville did its first subject, I thought that they should wait and the other center should wait until we found out exactly what happened to Mr. Tools. You'd hate to say we want to wait till he dies, but essentially I think that you do want to wait till he dies because his life expectancy is certainly more in terms of months than in years, and there's no emergency to do these procedures. So it seems to me that it's very difficult, if not impossible, for the other patients to give what we term informed consent with knowledge of the risks and benefits of this experimental device.
Well, if in fact this device is intended for people who have a 70% chance of dying of heart failure within a month, does the mere fact that the two implant recipients in Louisville are still alive, is that sufficient to say, well, that's what we can tell you in the way of informed consent? You have a good chance of living more than a month.
Well, even the company that produces the heart has said that the issue is not length of life, but quality of life, that there are lots of ways you can prolong an individual's life in the hospital, but many of them are very unpleasant, and there's no point in prolonging essentially a dying period by lengthening it out. So everyone agrees that the issue is not length of life, although it's necessary, certainly, that the person live longer with the heart than you would have expected them to live without it. But that's not sufficient. It's also necessary that the person's quality of life be a good quality of life, and that they experience decent relationships with other people, that they have an opportunity to get out of the hospital, and hopefully ultimately to go home, although you don't have to go home at the initial stages of this experiment to consider it a success.
Given that Mr. Tools received his heart at the beginning of July, and we're now almost in October, is this more successful than we had any right to expect an experimental implant to be?
Well, I think right now all you can say is that the goal at the time Mr. Tools received his artificial heart was that they'd be able to double what they thought his 30-day life expectancy was to 60 days. And that goal has been met, obviously. But the question is not, again, just length of life, but quality of life. Until we know more about how he's doing right now and how he continues to do, we can't say that was an unqualified success.
And is Mr. Tools still in the hospital?
He is, but it's been reported that he's gone on what's been called excursions. He's been able to leave the hospital for short periods of time to go various places. But yes, he is in the hospital and will be for some time.
So we're still at the stage, really, where the recipient of one of these mechanical hearts will be very much a patient, whether he's allowed to venture out a little bit, as Mr. Tools, the first implant recipient, has been able to. There are people who are walking experiments to see how this is doing.
I mean, I think that's the most important point for everybody to understand, that this is an experiment. This is a cutting-edge experiment, a very extreme experiment, and we're at the very early stages of it. But it's an experiment that I've said before is, I think, worth pursuing. But I think we should know more about what's actually happening than the company's been willing to share with us so far.
Professor Annis, thank you very much.
Okay, good to talk to you.
George Annis is professor of health law and bioethics at Boston University.